Hey, welcome Central. We are so excited that you're here. Our online campuses as well as our Creston campus. It is awesome to have you with us today. And I believe that God's got something special for you. And so the first thing I'd just like to start off with, someone shout fire. Fire, right? I mean, fire is incredible. I mean, you guys know what we're talking about if you've ever really built a fire. I mean, we're not talking about those that just have a gas fireplace. We're talking the real wood burner type fire makers. I mean, the wood, the smoke, the heat. And there's truth about the fire. It always starts with the spark. The spark is what engages the fire. It doesn't look like much at first. It's just a flicker, it's a flash, it's a moment. But the thing that we need to realize is that you can't sleep on the spark, because in an instant it leaps, it spreads, it consumes, and then it's beginning to blaze. And everybody feels it, everybody sees it, and nobody doubts it. That's when the marshmallows begin to be put into the fire, right? I mean, the heat begins. And that's how many of us start our walk with God. I mean, you remember the altar call. You remember when your heartbeat was coming out of your chest that night at camp when you lifted your hands and felt the touch earth, that worship moment when you were worshiping God and you felt so close that it was undeniable. That was the spark. That was the flame. That was the fire. You were passionate. You were confident. You were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. But what they don't always preach and what we don't always say is that the flame doesn't always stay wild forever. The rush begins to slow, the crowd begins to thin, and the feelings sometimes fade. And life continues to roll. And now the same you that was once in that place of running to the altar, you are now dragging through devotions. The same hands that were once reached for heaven are now holding bills and burdens and broken pieces. And deep down you start to wonder, where did the fire go? Why doesn't it feel the same? Did I lose it? Did God leave me? And so this morning, I just want to be able to share a few things about life today. That you didn't lose it, you didn't fail, you didn't miss your moment. You just stepped into a different phase, a deeper phase, a sustaining phase, a holy phase. And ultimately, you entered into that amber stage. Because the fire starts when it begins to sustain you. And while the sparks are flashy and the flames are loud, it's the amber that lasts. Embers don't dance, they endure. Embers don't make noises, but they carry heat. Embers don't get attention, but they hold the power. When the crowd is gone and the noise dies down and the night begins to grow cold, it's not the flame that keeps you alive, it's the ember. And so your faith may feel quieter today. If your fire doesn't shout like it used to, don't mistake the silence for absence. Don't confuse the steady with empty, because the ember still burns and God is still alive. It may not be a shout, it may not be a dance, it may not come with tears, but it's real. It's alive. And it's enough to keep going. What burns quietest often burns deepest. And what survives the night becomes the spark in the next move that God has for you today. For every worshiper who is still showing up, even when it's hard, God is there. For every believer still praying when heaven feels quiet, God is there. And so today, as we begin to pour into what it means to be ignited, what it means to see that ember, I want us this morning to know that God is there. And so if you would pray with me this morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to dig a little deeper, to understand, Lord, that things are not always hot in the sense of the flame that we see, but Lord, that it is the ember that is burning within. So God, open our eyes. May our ears hear what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Our first point this morning is faith ignited as Peter's spark. In Luke chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boots, so they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him." It was a divine spark. Peter was a fisherman by trade, a practical, skilled, and ordinary. But Jesus saw more. He saw a kingdom builder. With one invitation, with one spark, by saying in Scripture, we see it says, "Follow me and I will make you fishermen of men." Peter's entire identity was redefined. Jesus didn't say, "I will use you as you are." He said, "I will make you." This isn't about being used. It's about being transformed. And that's the spark of calling. The ignition of a divine purpose, of something that God is going to begin to transform you in a way that's incredible. This pastor talked about over the last few weeks, when God first called Gideon, he was hiding. He wasn't a fiery warrior at first. He was hesitant. He was small and he was unsure. Literally threshing wheat in the wine press because he was afraid of the enemy. And Gideon's faith was like a tiny ember, hidden and uncertain. And here's the truth. When Jesus calls you, he's not just seeing you who you are right now. He's seeing you who you will become when his purpose sets you on fire. It may not be loud, but it's still hot. It may not be public, but it's still powerful. It may not get your attention, but it still holds the potential to reignite the fire. God doesn't light the fire to impress you. He lights it to empower you. God doesn't light the fire to impress you. He's not trying to impress you with all of the power that he has and all the intention that he has and all of the miracles that he has. He lights it so that you are empowered to do like what Peter did. Peter's story teaches us that the spark is not the destination. It's the invitation to step into a new season. That spark, that excitement, that decision that you made to set, that you said, "Jesus, use me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I want to be able to hear you." That spark isn't about the destination. It's not a one and done, but rather it's an invitation to step into something new that God has for you. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." To everything there is a season. And as we go into that new season, as we accept Jesus for the first time, as we do things that we didn't know that we could do, we recognize the spark. That every new season of faith, every move of God begins with that ignition, begins with igniting what God has in store for you. And you know the feeling, the adrenaline, the clarity, the spiritual high. Whether it was salvation or a word of God, a vision that set you ablaze in your soul, the spark was real. Galatians 6:9 reminds us that the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So don't mistake the spark for the summit. Don't look at the moment that you have and be romantic about just the moment and forget that the mission that you're called to do. The spark is just the beginning, but it's the beginning of the becoming. One of the greatest things about finding that spark and taking that opportunity to create that fire is what it becomes and what you can do with it. And God wants you to do something great. We talk about connect groups. We talked about connecting relationally. We talk about giving, all of the 5 points of connection. It's a spark that begins to well up within us. Because it begins that we understand that it's not just a step, but that it's a mission that God's called us to be a part of, to begin to change the world and to begin to build the kingdom and to begin to have an impact, to leverage the impact, to leverage the things that God's doing in our life for the kingdom of God. The spark was never meant to be the whole story. It was meant to start the story. When you accepted Jesus Christ for the very first time, that wasn't a one and done deal. God wanted you to take that story, and he wants you to develop it, and he wants you to grow, and he wants you to begin to share that with other people, and he wants you to begin to do things that you didn't think that you could do and take those steps of faith. It's the start of the story. So even if all you see now is the ember, don't count yourself out, because the ember still burns. Leads us to point number two, that when the fire fades, faith is tested. Peter went from walking on water to shifting his eyes to the storm in doubt. From boldly declaring his loyalty to denying Jesus three times around a fire. He knew what it felt like to burn bright and then to flicker low. But this morning I want us to listen. That this is not the end of the faith. The flame doesn't mean that you won't face fear. Testing comes when you try to walk by faith in uncertain conditions. And today you probably have those uncertain conditions. Today you probably have those moments where you're being tested. And you're asking the question, where is God? And why am I going through this? But failure doesn't extinguish your fire. It reveals what kind of fuel your faith runs on. Jesus didn't rebuke Peter to shame him. He reached for him to refine him. Before Gideon stepped into his calling, he asked God for signs two times. He wasn't sure if he was ready or if he was able. And as the excitement faded, doubts began to creep in. And Gideon was hesitant, like many of us are at times, when our faith feels weak and we want to be reassured of what we're supposed to do. Matthew 14:31 says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And then we see, as we think about Luke 22:61, where Peter's denying Jesus three times and he's looking at him. And ultimately what Jesus is kind of saying is that I'm not condemning you, but I have compassion for you. Because the reality is that your flame will flicker. It will flicker in fear, but it's not going to be extinguished in failure. That God doesn't look upon you as a failure, but he looks upon you as success. And the enemy will want to convince you that you have failed, and that there is no hope, and that there is no tomorrow, and that there is no ember, that there is nothing stirring within you. The ember doesn't mean that you've lost your calling. It means that God is about to rebuild it stronger than it ever has before. Amen? That God wants something more powerfully for you. And sometimes the fire fades not because God has left, but because he's purifying what remains. And that's why Galatians 6:9 still matters. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And one of those plans and that purpose is for you to be able to go and to reach the harvest that he has put before you. To not give up, but to continue to persevere and to continue to push forward. And sometimes the fire fades, but we have to be encouraged today not to walk away, that don't count ourselves out, but take this moment and take your faith and dig deep and look at the root, look at down deep where God wants you to be, and begin to realize that there is hope in where you are today. Because your endurance is being built, your purpose is being purified, and your fire is not gone. It's just being tested. It's being tested where you're at and where you're going. But don't give up this morning. It leads us through our third point, where faith is sustained. It's kind of the ember stage of where we're at. In John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter." You see, he didn't lecture him. He didn't scold him. He didn't list off all the failures. He just asked the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter, sitting there with more pain than pride, says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Two more times, Jesus asked the same question. "Jesus, do you love me and feed my sheep?" Why three questions? Because Peter gave three denials that met with three callings. Three failures that met with three fresh assignments. Jesus doesn't bring up failure. He doesn't say, "Let's talk about what you did wrong." He just asked, "Do you love me?" Not once, but three times. Each time is a moment of healing. Each time is a match striking the ember again, not to shame Peter, but to restore him. You see, as we are, when our faith is sustained, we understand that God is there. Some of you know about that place. You've felt the fire dim. You've wondered where your passion went. You're not walking away, but you're walking on the fire. You're still here, but something feels quieter. And so I just want to encourage you today that you may feel like the fire has dimmed, but God still sees the ember. It's powerful. It doesn't always crackle. It doesn't always have the same effect of the fire where you see all of the burning and the colors and all of that. But really, when you think about taking the marshmallow and putting it into the embers, the heat that's down low, it actually creates a better crust on the marshmallow, right? I mean, it's incredible. The ember doesn't need to be loud, it just needs to be alive. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you." The word "fan" means it's already here. You're not waiting on the spark. God doesn't need to relight you. He just needs you to make room for the wind. And so we think about that. We think about that process of taking that understanding of that flame. It's just about having that endurance. Gideon's real test wasn't starting the mission. It was staying in it when it seemed like it wasn't working. It wasn't making sense. Paul didn't say, "Get a new fire." He said, "Stir up what's already there." Can I encourage you today that when we begin to realize that our faith needs to be sustained, God doesn't say, "Get a new fire." He says, "Use what I've already given you. Begin to stir the pot." One of the things about a fire is that when you begin to stir the embers, it begins to revitalize. Sparks begin to ignite once again. Many of times that's where a wildfire begins. It's the embers that get left from a campfire that someone leaves. It's no longer the big brush of fire where the flames are going, but it begins to be just the embers. And we think that it's okay to leave. And yet when you begin to stir those embers or the wind begins to brush across it, something happens. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you feel hidden, forgotten, stuck in a still season. But I want you to hear what God is saying today. Don't count yourself out. Don't waste the quiet season. That's where the faith begins to be forged. That's where the calling begins to be clarified. And that's where our identity gets rooted. Our identity. What a great word. We have an identity in the name of Jesus. You know, we begin to realize, you know, sometimes we ask what our identity is. And sometimes we have to stir the embers to see what that identity is. Sometimes we have to begin to realize that God wants to move within us and we have to continue to keep moving. The moon doesn't produce light. It reflects the sun. You may not feel fiery this morning, but if you stay aligned, if you continue to stir those embers, that you too will shine. And this is where our spiritual formation grows those deep roots. Help people anchor into the practices that sustain fire. Help those around you to see where they have the anchor that they need. And one of the ways that we can do that's, again, by joining a small group. stirring within that context of making those around you stronger, developing a deeper discipline, memorizing the word, walking with mentors, doing things that will challenge you. And yet, quiet faith still changes the world. The ember doesn't shout, but it still burns. Jesus didn't give Peter a pep talk. He gave him an assignment. He said, feed the sheep. No spotlight, no microphone, just obedience, just purpose. And sometimes the deepest moments with God aren't loud. They're still, they're steady, and they're strong. And so that's where our real fire lives. That's where champions are formed. Not in the flames, but in the flicker that refuses to die. It leads us to our fourth point, where faith is redefined, where champions are formed in the ember. In Acts chapter 2:14, it says, Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. If you want to make a kingdom impact today, stop waiting to be on fire and start living as the ember. Acts 2:38 says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to look at these things, we begin to realize that champions are made when no one else is watching. When we begin to realize that the things that we want to get better at, the things that we want to do, the things that God is stirring within our heart, a lot of times happen as we are in our prayer closet, as we are spending time in His Word, as we're doing the things that He's called us to do, and he continues to stir on those things. Champions are made when no one else is watching. The greatest football player, sports athlete at any level develops in the off season. They grow stronger in the off season. When they're in the season, as we talked about at point two, when you're being tested, that's not when you grow stronger. That's when you are maintaining. In season, you maintain. Out of season, you grow. And that's why it's so important to grow in the off season. Gideon's victory wasn't from strength, but from obedience in the ember season. Faith isn't proved by loud players. It's proved by a quiet audience. And so as we begin to see the seed, as we're in the growth season, we're in the planting season, that seed is the beginning of growth, begins in silence. It's laying in the dirt. It's laying in the soil. It's not on the surface. There are things that are happening underneath that we do not know yet. The farmer is hoping that the seed is being nurtured and has enough moisture, but not too much moisture. The farmer has to till the top of the soil. If there's a crust of dirt on top of that, the farmer has to take the rotary till and go through the field to break up the soil so that what's happening underneath begins to grow. In the same way, when God's working in our lives, there's things sometimes that we may have to till on top so that God's fruit and God's things can begin to grow. His love and His self-control and His perseverance and His patience and His love and His joy can begin to well from within, because we're allowing what's happening underneath to begin to flow out. The kingdom impact that we can have is to be able to celebrate like everyday champions, our volunteers, our parents, our teachers, our intercessors, people who burn steady behind the scenes. They are incredible. And we're so thankful for what those individuals do. When we let the ember forge our faith, we stop being a church attender and we become a kingdom sustainer. This is where we can begin to help the church recognize those champions that aren't made on mountaintops. They are forged in the valleys, in hidden places, in long nights of prayer, in perseverance. It's easy to be able to get to the mountain and have that mountaintop experience, but it's what's lying underneath in the valley that develops the beauty at the mountaintop. Peter's past didn't disqualify him, it prepared him. The Ember Stage forged him into a kingdom champion, and that's what God is doing in you, shaping you in private so that you can begin to stand in public and begin to tell people how much Jesus means to you. And point number five is faith mobilized to be the amber. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And 2 Peter 1:5 says, and to your faith, goodness, knowledge, and self-control. And Acts 4:20 says, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So humble yourself. Add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, and self-control. And we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. What is God doing in your life? When you stirred those embers, when you said yes to Jesus, what are you willing to share of what God is doing? When God begins to work in your life, when God begins to do some incredible things here at our church, as people begin to be kingdom builders and begin to move forward in that way. You see, we don't have to chase revival when we are the revival. Faithful, steady, burning with purpose. We are the revival. Sometimes it's easy to chase the next best thing, to do the next best thing. But God wants us to know that we are the revival. As we remain faithful, as we remain steady, as we remain on purpose and continue to do what God's called us to do. For the unbeliever, the spark is inside you. It's longing. It's a hidden hunger that God is calling you home. For the prodigal, your fire isn't gone. It's just buried under the ashes. And God says, let me breathe on it. Let me breathe on those ashes as the embers are underneath. Let me breathe on that. Let me blow it across so it becomes on fire again. For the believer, you don't need a new fire. You just need to stir the one that you already have. You just need to be allowing God to work in within you. You need to begin to understand the promises that he has given you. And even though you've gone through heartaches and struggles and it doesn't seem like that the flame is burning, understand that God is still alive and he's still there. That God meets us not just in revival tents, but in quiet resolve. And this may be the day that many say, I am ready to burn again. I am ready to stand out loud or to stand above and to say out loud that God is my Lord. As we look at Gideon again, it says after the battle, Gideon leads Israel with steady faithfulness and the ember still burned, not just a flash in the pan, but for a lifelong flame. It's been an incredible series that Pastor Ryan has taken us through. The ember is not the end. It's the fire that fuels others. God wants you to impact those around you. God wants you to be that living example. You see, Peter's legacy, his fire became a legacy. He didn't just burn for Christ, he helped others stay hot. See, our responsibility is not just to come in on a Sunday morning and worship him and to pay our tithes and to listen to the word, but our responsibility, our legacy is not just to do one piece of it, but not just to burn for Christ, but it's to make those around us stronger and better. It's to forge our faith so that we can stand strong in our community, in our witness, in our life, in our family. You see, the ember isn't about staying visible. It's about staying ready. You see, our ember isn't about staying visible. It's about staying ready. When God is calling you, we say in Growth Track all the time, when we have to respond and we're not prepared, it's too late. You see, we have to be prepared. We have to know what the church believes. We have to know what God's calling us as church, as a vision, as you see all the different signs and our five points of connection. These are things for us to prepare. These are things that we need to be able to understand because those are the things that are preparing us to be ready. When someone comes and calls and we have to connect, we're ready. As a greeting team, we don't just stand in the foyer and just let everybody pass by and go through, but no, we engage. And we talk with them and we greet them and we love them and we encourage them. Why? Because there's something happening inside of them. That day, that maybe today they need to be feel loved. Maybe you need to feel loved. The ember isn't about staying visible, it's about staying ready. And today I hope that we can understand how important it is for us to be ready. Ready for what he has called us to do. Ready for him, ready to know that one day he's coming back to take us home. Being ready. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I don't know if I've ever had that spark. And maybe you've been around the fire, you felt the warmth, you've seen the light, but you never have let God and his light inside of your heart. Or maybe you've had a fire once, but that life, that pain, that disappointment, or that sin has made you feel like the flame is gone. But can I tell you this morning, the ember burns. That small flicker in your soul, that's not random. It's not leftover hype. It's God calling you home. And so the good news today is that Jesus came for the people whose flames have faded. He died on the cross to take away your sin, every mistake, every failure, and he rose again to give you new life, a new fire, and a new start. And today can be that spark moment. Today can be the day where you begin to take your match and your lighter, and you begin to light that fire and that piece of twig that begins to start a fire. The moment when that spark begins to start on fire is the moment that God begins to use you. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've never come back to him, or you need to come back to him, I want to give you that opportunity to understand how awesome that is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we would just believe in our heart, Lord, if we would just confess with our lips that you are that God. You are the God that died on the cross. You are the God that gave your Son to rise up. And today, God, we need you. And we want you. And we surrender to you. So, Lord, today I ask that you would forgive me. God, I pray that you would make me new. That you would light the fire within me that would never go out. And so today, God, I choose you. And I ask you to come into my life. For you are a God of greatness. And you are a God of love. If that's you this morning, we need to know. We want to know. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. And maybe you're here today. And either you're the prodigal. Or you're a Christian. Maybe it's your love has faded. The spark has seemingly dimmed. But today, God wants to meet you where you are today as well. So, God, I pray for each one that's in this place, for everyone that's watching online, Lord, that you would use them, show them that ember is still burning and that desire to be there for them, to encourage them, is there. So, Lord, I pray that you love them and encourage them. Bring them back next week with a zeal and a passion to know more about you. In Jesus' name, amen.